Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
One can draw many parallels between the tree of life spoken of in the book of Revelation and the cross of Calvary, the tree upon which Jesus hung as he paid for the sins of the world. Jesus is the one true giver of life. Where is your life source found today? Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 21 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 4 through 7.
Salvation has a past, a present, and a future from our perspective. We were saved the day we received Christ. We are being saved. We're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. But then there's going to be that ultimate product. And God gives us a new body, and we step into that new heaven and new earth and that new universe where we will dwell with God and one another forever and ever. It's done. You see, it's already done. We're just reading about it now, but this is what awaits us, beloved. This is our eternal future. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be strengthened in these words. This is a promise of God. This is not a promise of man. The promise of God who cannot lie. We're going to step into this new heaven, new earth, all tears, all crying, all death over with. All because of the gracious work of God through Jesus Christ on the cross. Here's an interesting passage. The one on the throne says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Interesting. We've been going through the book of Revelation on Sunday morning. And here the one who sits on the throne says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The one sitting on the throne typically refers to God the Father. But if you've been reading carefully, you will have already observed that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, and if you read ahead, Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, Jesus declares that he is the Alpha and Omega. What does that mean? It means Jesus Christ is God. When Jesus performed a miracle on earth, his opponents took exception to the fact that he said, I and the Father are one, making himself equal with God. And here the Holy Spirit once again gives us the identity of Jesus Christ. He is not only God the Son, he is also the Son of God. He is equal with the Father. He and the Father are one, one in nature, one in essence. And thus when people say, I believe in Jesus, every cult believes in Jesus, every religious group believes in Jesus, ask for identification. What Jesus are you talking about? Oh, he's a great prophet. Oh, he's a great teacher. When I was a hippie, Jesus was the first nonviolent revolutionary. Yeah. Power to the people, tie-dyed shirts, headband and everything. Right? But who is Jesus? You see, if you have a Jesus other than the Jesus of Bible, you've got a fake Jesus. You've got another Jesus. You've got a Jesus that cannot redeem you. Father says, I am the Alpha and Omega. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega. Not a conflict, a complement to one another. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus is called the author and finisher of our faith. God is the beginning, the source, the origin of everything. And he is the completion of everything. And notice what he says. He confirms the work of the Son by saying, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Free. Free. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. We certainly don't deserve it. Only two conditions need to be met. You need to be a sinner. We've got that locked down. And we must be thirsty. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes in me shall never thirst. The word freely means gratuitously, without a cause, or grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. You see, this is how God has always offered to man salvation, freely. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it you will surely die." But remember, there was another tree in the garden, wasn't there, that he could have eaten of, off of? It was the tree of life. He didn't eat off the tree of life. He believed the lie of the enemy, and he ate off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there are millions of people, religious people, spiritual people today, still believing the lie of the enemy, eating off the religious tree of the knowledge of good and evil rather than the tree of life, Calvary. What was the promise that Jesus gave to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, verse 7? "To whom him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." The water of life mentioned here is another name for eternal life, which of course is a free gift that only God can give, because he is the fountain of life. He's the only one that can give this eternal life. You see, a church can't give eternal life. This church can't. No church can. No denomination, no creed can give you eternal life. Jesus, the fountain of life, he's the only one that can give you and I eternal life. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, the Lord says that he was the fountain of living waters. And God repeatedly in Scripture cries out to sinners like myself and you to come to him and drink. Isaiah 55 verse 1. "Everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." God says, come and buy something for me, but you can't pay for it. I'll give it to you. Don't you like that? Wouldn't it be insulting if somebody gives you a gift and then you say, "Well, how much do I owe you?" Imagine somebody giving you a birthday gift. Wife gives you a beautiful gift. "Here, honey, take it." "Wow, that's great, honey. Lizzie, that is so good. How much do I owe you?" Somebody gives you a Christmas gift. "Oh, that is wonderful. Thank you so much. Can I have the receipt so that I know how much you love me?" "No, whatever." kidding. Just wanted to see if you're awake. And God says, come, buy and eat, but I want you to know the price has been paid. I'm going to give it to you gratuitously, without a cause. Well, we do know that there was a price that was paid, though. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. And this offer of eternal life, free, free. Remember what Jesus said to the woman in John chapter 4? "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You ask, I give. You ask, I give. Simple. Simple. Salvation, according to the Scriptures, is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. John chapter 7, the last day of the great feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus said, "If any man thirst," nobody being left out this morning, every single one of you, "if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Romans 3:24 says that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ is simply profound and profoundly simple. Even a child can understand it. It's probably some of you out there who came to know Christ at a very young age. How many would that be? Very young age. When a child. Praise God for that. Now, when you tell people you're saved and you know you're going to heaven, that's, in their eyes, a point of contention. Maybe you've been told, as I have been told, for you to say that you know you're going to heaven is pretty arrogant, Ray. How do you know? Well, I would agree with that statement. if the basis of my confidence was my righteousness or my works or my effort. If somebody were to say, Ray, do you know you're going to heaven? And I said, yes. And they said, why? And I said something like this. Well, I'm a good person. I'm not really that bad. I've never killed anybody. I've never murdered anybody. I've never been unfaithful to my wife and all of these things. And I could just go on and on with this whole list of what a wonderful person I am. If that's the basis of your confidence, then that's pretty arrogant. But if the basis of your confidence is the cross of Jesus Christ, in spite of who you and I are, that's not arrogance. That's boasting in the Lord. You see, when people say, how do you know you're going to heaven? I just get right into magnifying my King, because Christ Jesus died on the cross for my sin. He is my wisdom. He is my righteousness. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. He's my King. He's my God. He's my high priest. Don't tell me he's my crutch. He's the whole hospital. He just doesn't help me get there. It's because of him that I'm going there. He's my life, he's my strength, he's my purpose. And when I die, I'm clinging to the hem of his garment because it's his blood on the cross that I'm trusting in. His blood, that's not boasting in me. I've got nothing to boast of. My confidence is in Christ. But there are people who challenge us when we say we know we're going to heaven. But they come by and say, well, tell me, how are you going to heaven? Well, I'm a good person. And then they tell you the very things that disqualify them. You see, beloved, in God's eyes, when a person is not embracing the cross of Jesus Christ, then that is what the Bible calls self-righteousness. And self-righteousness is unrighteousness in the eyes of God. Christ was sent to be the propitiation for our sins, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we received this gift. This gift of God's unmerited, undeserved favor by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We boast in the Lord, don't we? You magnify the Lord. The psalmist says, I boast in the Lord all day long. You can't go wrong boasting in the Lord. You start boasting in yourself, you're going to shoot yourself. Our boasting is in the Lord. Our confidence is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. But because of the fall of man, there's an emptiness inside you and me. We're born with it. We might not know what to call it, but we're born with this emptiness. And we seek to find fulfillment and satisfaction in lesser things than the Lord himself. In fact, there was a man in the Bible by the name of Solomon, King Solomon, who was the wisest man in the face of this earth, who ended up doing one of the dumbest things. You know wise men that do dumb things? Yeah, I've done it. But he did the ultimate. Here he is raised in a godly, kingly home, knows what the scripture says about eternal life. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's having one of those seasons in his life where he thinks, well, maybe, you know, this church stuff, this religious stuff, this Jesus stuff, I'm trying to make it contemporary, isn't all that it's cracked up to be. So I'm going to go out and find what real life is all about. He goes out and he starts studying the sciences and studying nature. He begins to collect all kinds of music CDs and stuff like that. Man, he's listening to everything. He's got pleasures abounding. He's trying to find satisfaction in women and satisfaction in this and satisfaction in money. And at the end of the day, he's emptier than when he started. You know why? Because nothing can satisfy the unsatisfiable me but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Only the splendor of the magnificent God can satisfy the deep hunger of sinners. The Bible says in the Psalms, happy are those people whose God is the Lord. You happy this morning? I didn't ask you if you feel happy, because you may not feel happy. God declares, happy are those people whose God is the Lord. Many times that happiness is in spite of how you feel, right? But our God is the Lord. I'm happy. The word happy means blessed. Now listen to this promise. Maybe you're anticipating a Christmas this year that isn't going to be as spectacular as in years gone by. For economic reasons that many of us are going through, you're thinking, oh, man, alive, I'm not going to get that many gifts. I'm not going to be able to buy that many gifts. Oh, this is going to be a bummer. Well, hold your thought there. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I was telling my bride, I says, honey, you know, I'm studying Revelation 21 and 22 has been a real blessing for me, but I'm having a hard time getting excited about what? About Christmas. Not about what it means, what it stands for, but look at what I've got coming. I'm going to inherit all things. How do you replace that with here? Here. Or here. Here's a new cell phone. I'm going to inherit all things. Isn't that incredible? All things. Talk about Christmas. Wow. There's many promises that we find in the book of Revelation. But this is no doubt one of the glorious ones. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Note, friends, that we do not become little gods after we die. We're not going to inherit our own planet and our own universe, as is taught by the Latter-day Saints. As man is, God once was. As God is, man may become. That was the statement of the fifth Latter-day Saint President Lorenzo Snow. The eternal progression of man into God. That is a bona fide lie, a blasphemous statement. The creature can never become the creator. Never, 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 never. Did I make that clear? You don't evolve into a little god. You will forever be a creature. Hopefully you'll die a redeemed creature. Who are those who overcome? Well, they're identified in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's the overcomer. Revelation 12:11 says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto the death. And because of what Christ has done for us, we become adopted children of the living God. And Romans 8:14 and 15 in Galatians chapter 4, 6 and 7 says we now cry out to God, Abba, Father. Relationship. Notice we will inherit all things. Look at that. Look at verse 7. Look at what it said. Look at. Don't look at me. Look at that. What does it say? He that overcomes shall inherit all things. All things. God says all things. My, oh my. Isn't that incredible? That means anything and everything which the Father has given to the Son will become yours and mine by inheritance. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:21, all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. My, oh my, it makes you want to jump up. Yeah! Everything, the whole universe. Pastor to congregation, wake up, smile. This is your inheritance. This is your inheritance. I didn't get what I wanted for Christmas. Oh! Oh! Come on! Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. I have reservations in heaven because of Jesus. Now, because of my economic standing or lack thereof, there's a lot of places on this earth I could never have reservations. I never have reservations at the White House or even these fancy restaurants. You know, some people have, where they put that cloth over their arm and they just pour that water. Let me drink the glass or something. But, you know, and yet, an amazing thing, I have reservations in heaven. There's a white stone with my name written on it that nobody in the whole universe knows but me and God. And I have reservations. Raymond, here. That just so amazes me. Do you have those reservations? You see, we overcome by drinking of the grace of God that is given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. And when you're born again, here's what happens. You're made a new creature. And you, at that moment, begin a relationship, a real, living, loving, personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. This isn't about religion. This isn't about becoming a fan of Jesus. It's about being a follower of Jesus Christ. And through repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ, we become His blood-bought sons and daughters. Perhaps there are some of you here today that have never received Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, He offers it to you the same way that He offered it to Adam and Eve in the garden, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I was reading in the book of Daniel the other day how after the Lord delivered the three Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Did you ever read the altar call that Nebuchadnezzar gave? He says at the end of chapter 3 of the book of Daniel, verse 28, "Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God than that can deliver after this sort." That's quite a aggressive altar call, isn't it? I mean, I'm thinking this isn't a pastor. This is a king. He says, and if you don't give your life to Christ, we're going to cut you in pieces and your house is going to become a dunghill. Now, listen, we didn't go out and buy some new knives to cut you in pieces this morning. But I do want to offer you on behalf of the Lord the opportunity this morning to give your life to Christ. Make your calling and election sure. Remember the words of Jesus. Remember the words of the one who sits upon the throne. "I will give to him who is athirst of the water of life freely." Freely. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 45, verse 22, and this is for all of us, whether it be for the first time this morning or whether it be for the millionth time as a believer, listen to what God says. "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Look to the Lord this morning, brothers and sisters. Look to the Lord this morning. Look to Him. Look to Him who is faithful and true. Look to Him that is the God of all grace, the God of all comfort. May the reality of who He is and what He's done for you through Christ encourage you. And again today, you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as Lord and Savior. Come and drink. Just come and drink. Come and drink. Take of the water of life freely. Remember, it's the true and living God that saves you, not a church. There is no redeeming grace in this church. It's the Lord of the church. It's not about being a Protestant or a this or a that. It's coming to Christ, believing in Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless His holy. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.